All right, everybody. Another episode of Life in the Lair. And today I'm going to be covering another section from my book. Again, this is going to be condensed down into, call it an audio book if you want. And one of the reasons I'm doing this is, one, I don't have enough money to pay a narrator to go through the whole thing. Two, I think it's more effective if I deliver the message myself. And number three, there's additional wording and explanations when I do it this way. One of the main reasons is because when I originally wrote this book, it was 200, 318 pages, somewhere in there. And I remember going, reading through the manuscript, going, well, who the hell did I write this for? Because, let's be honest, the grunt, the average guy, it's not going to read this much crap. You got to give it to him in short doses, and that's it. Make it short and sweet, grunt it down. So that's what I did here. Now, I'm going to give you a piece of advice before we get into the three main chunks for this video. It's gonna sound weird, but it's totally necessary, I promise. You should do this before every interview and date. You see where I'm going with this, right? Did I just say interview and date? I think I repeated myself. It's not like I was ever asked about my 401k on a first date or anything. With that being said, you might want to think about doing the five-knuckle shuffle before you show up for the interview. Post-nut clarity is a real phenomena. If you've ever had to take home the anchor so your buddy could get a crack at the hottie, you know what I'm talking about. You get your 7 to 10 minutes of fun, and you pull out, and then you have to run. And when you get to my age, post-nut clarity moves to pre-nut clarity, and it's kind of uncomfortable. But it's not as uncomfortable as mid-nut clarity. What I'm trying to explain here is you're in the middle of the deed and you realize, I don't want to talk to this woman again. And you take off. You can avoid all of that if you just dump your goo before you have to run like a Jew from the tax man. And why is this? Because you don't know who's interviewing you, and you don't even know who works there. You could walk in there and have a supermodel interviewing you, and you'd be like, uh-oh. You will be distracted the entire time. Trust me, it's happened to me. Office cleavage is a real thing, gentlemen, and the woman in the office, they weaponize that shit, so beware. If your interview goes well, more than likely you're gonna get a tour of the whole office. Because it's not just the interviewer you have to worry about. So I hope you cleared the chamber because you're walking into a live fire exercise. The person that interviewed you could be a fat lump of shit, but they're not the ones you have to worry about every single day. Even if she is a supermodel, most of the time she's forbidden by company policy to mess around with her subordinates. The same cannot be said about your coworkers. So if the interview goes well and you get that tour, keep your eyes on a swivel.
Redonkulous.com Productions presents The Working Man's Survival Guide in the Woke Era. 97 hilarious minutes of job security and risk management designed to help men keep their jobs and their heads in the insane world of office politics. Available on July 4th for $100. Paid supporters on GiveSendBro, Locals, and Subscribestar will save $20. Mark your calendars and go to work.
All right, now, this is number 5, the fifth stance. And it says, anger never goes beyond two dimensions. We're all humans, so we're all afflicted with emotion. 80% of the time, they're in check. For some, they lock them away, but for most, they are just on a leash to be pulled back at a moment's notice. Okay, most emotions, when not controlled, will cloud your mind and lead you down bad roads. Anger is the most common emotion, and we let it out of the box on a regular basis. You have a bad day, you got a headache, or you're sick, someone takes too long at a light or does not make the turn and adds a few more seconds to your drive. The next thing I know, you punch the roof of your car, laid on the horn, and gone down the list of profane words in your limited dictionary. 30 minutes later, when the mood fades, you realize you dented your car and your child was on the school bus and saw your anger tirade in all of its regalia. I've been there and got the t-shirt. Whenever you let anger touch the control surfaces in your mind, it only goes to two stops. These stops are shame and regret. I have been there many times and I don't much care for the view. Yeah, some men are rotting out the rest of their time on this accursed rock in prison because this emotion, anger, it went a little too far. This is a consequence of action, as I mentioned in number one. Consequences and karma are what lies in store for you on earth. Furthermore, more thinking while in a state of anger will limit your rational thinking. At best, while angry, you can only think in two dimensions. As a former professional fighter, I relished in enraging my opponents. When I did this, they were quick to make tactical poor decisions, took awkward, powerful swings that were easy to, you know, block and dodge, or simply move out of the way. I put many a black belt on his ass by fighting in three dimensions that way, while they only operated in two dimensions. It is like anger is a fog, and it severely limits what you can see and do. The universe gave us these emotions for a reason, but we use it far beyond its intended purpose. I am not even going to go into detail about the negative health effects of being angry and frustrated a majority of the time. All right, so this is not in the book here. What I'm trying to tell you is this. When you're young and you got all that testosterone running through your veins, and it's making your muscles bigger and gives you, more denser bones and more endurance, it also makes you more aggressive. And that's just the way it rolls. Now, imagine all of that. Your body is created for that. And you have a mind that has programming that allows you to use that to the maximum potential. Sounds great, doesn't it? Now, when you need it, I'm sure, it comes in handy. But what I've noticed is this. If you find yourself getting enraged and you can just feel anger sneaking into the captain chair in your mind, you have to have enough willpower to force it down to the engine room, and all it does is shovel coal into the fire. You always want to remain calm so you can maneuver and adapt to the circumstances put before you. I had a habit when I used to compete. I used to talk to my opponents ad nauseam while we were fighting. And I would literally say things, that would piss them off. Now, I didn't directly insult their mothers, or I didn't talk any mad trash like that. It was always comments like, is that all you got? You're a little slow on that one. You can do better. That combination was weak. Stop the Hollywood striking, and so forth. And in so doing, I angered them, and I probably pulled on the strings of the seven deadly sins, and they made mistakes that I capitalized on. All right? It's the same thing in life. People are going to try to do that to you all the time. The youth of today, they are sitting ducks for this tactic. They are so mentally weak, they call words violence now. What a bunch of shit.